I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
Desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again.
So we find the church gathering together on a Sunday night. Here we are, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Father in heaven, I pray that as we look into these scriptures, it would be your Holy Spirit that speaks to each of our hearts. Help us to retain these truths. Be more than hearers, but doers of your word. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So what I want to do tonight is I want to take you to this first Sunday night service that these post-resurrection Christians are participating in. The men from Emmaus have come. The 11 are gathered. Now, this is actually the first time you're going to find the Lord Jesus Christ appear to the apostles post-resurrection. Now, he appeared to Peter, but Peter was not with all the others earlier in the day. But here they're all gathered together. But what I want to do is I want you to see with me tonight the progression of the evening, the lesson that Jesus Christ brings to them. Because throughout these 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension, you're going to find appearances of Christ with lessons to be learned. So we start off in verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, which of course is Sunday, in the evening, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. I want us to begin by recognizing they were afraid. Life is full of times, incidences, circumstances that make us afraid. Certainly, as Ashley was coming into that intersection in her little white electric car, and John, as he was coming, and he's He's who knows? He's coming into the intersection. Whenever somebody saw that getting ready to happen, fear would strike their heart, wouldn't it? Lots of things in our lives happen that strike us with fear. But yet at the same time, there are some things fear is a tool to help us to prepare to deal with what's happening. Some things we let fear become a crippling agent in our lives. And God wants us to understand that's not his desire for us. In fact, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." God wants you and I to understand that in him, we find in him that perfect love. For God so loved us so much, he gave his only begotten Son. Christ was willing to lay down his life for you and for me. He loved us so much. That perfect love casts out of us fear. Fear of death, fear of hell, fear of all the unknowns in life, because we know he's going to walk through those valleys with us. In fact, even during this whole year of dealing with COVID-19, our verse as a church has been 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us power, love, and a sound mind. He doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to find in him that strength, that courage, in order to face whatever it is that life is going to throw our way as we walk through it with the Lord. And that is exactly what he's going to do with these apostles, these disciples that are gathered together that evening for the very first post-resurrection Sunday night service. But let's look what happens the next step. So they start with fear, but look what transpires. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus. I want you to see that fellowship followed fear. These folks were gathered together, and now they're gathered together around Jesus. That's what worship is for us. There are people who don't understand, why do Christians want to worship? Why are these people going to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night? Why isn't it good enough to go once a year or maybe twice? Say Christmas and Easter, that ought to be good enough. Why don't they just be happy to not worship? Because fellowship is an integral part of being a Christian. Fellowship not only with one another, but fellowship with our Lord. Here you find that fellowship followed fear. The Lord Jesus Christ came and he stepped in the midst of it. He wanted them to understand that he is in their presence. He's there to minister to them, and they're there to minister to one another. In fact, turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians in your Bible. I want to show you just a few verses to help us to understand why we gather together as believers, why we come to comfort and encourage and to worship together. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm going to show you several verses. Chapter 4, verse 18, and then we're going to jump down into chapter 5. But listen to verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So we start out looking in 1 Thessalonians, and we understand that God tells us to come together and comfort one another with the word of God, with the principles and teachings of the Lord. We comfort one another through COVID-19. We comfort one another through the highs and lows of life. We comfort one another through discouragement as well as encouragement. Whatever it is that transpires, we brothers and sisters in Christ come alongside one another. Fellowship is important. Their fear was followed by fellowship. But look down with me to chapter 5 in this 1 Thessalonians. I want you to see another one. Look with me, if you would, down chapter 5, verse 11. It says, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." So he says to us, he says, you know, you come together to comfort one another and to edify each other. We come and worship together, yes, to comfort through the word, but to edify. It means to feed, to strengthen, to encourage one another. It's an important part of who we are. Well, can't we do that all by ourselves? Oh, listen, you don't know how many Christians have said to me, well, I don't need church. I believe in Jesus. I'm just fine. I'm a Christian. But inevitably, they are a very, very weak Christian. They're not strong. In order to be strong, you have to have the meat of the word. In order to be strong, you've got to be encouraged and edified by your brothers and sisters in Christ in the presence of Jesus. Let's look at another verse. Look down with me, if you would, chapter 5, verse 14. Listen to what it says. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient towards all men." Here we find the Lord talking about us coming together for what reason? That we might exhort one another, warn one another, comfort the feeble-minded. You know, that's an interesting word, feeble-minded. In today's vernacular, we don't really use the word feeble-minded. It's not a commonly used word. But if you read very much, you'll find it once in a while, you'll come across it. And usually feeble-minded, we always interpret it to be maybe simple-minded. But that's actually not what it means. This is a very unusual word in the Koine Greek, seldomly used, but it actually means to be faint-hearted, discouraged, despondent. So he's saying to us, comfort one another when you're discouraged, when you're faint-hearted. Come together, edify each other, exhort one another. Look at what he goes on to say. He says, exhort, brethren, one another, warn the unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient with one another. That's all part of coming together and fellowshipping and worshiping together. Are we all the same? Absolutely not. Do we need different things at different times? Absolutely. But we as a church, we have to go through those times and work together as brothers and sisters in Christ. This time that we're in right now is such a divisive time. There are people who are mad at each other about everything under the sun because they're just mad. They've been locked down at home. They're having to wear masks everywhere they go. They're afraid. But you and I, when we come to church, we come to comfort one another in fellowship. Here we find these folks on this first Sunday night. We find them coming. Yes, they're afraid, but next thing you find them doing is fellowship. Christ in the midst of them together, they're going to draw nearer to the Lord. Let's look at what takes place as we move. Let's go back to the text there in John chapter 20. Go back to verse 19 with me. Let's read it again. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst." And listen to what he says to them. He said to them, "Peace be unto you." Peace be unto you. So we find these folks who started out afraid. Now they're fellowshipping one with another with Jesus in the midst. And Christ has told us where two or more are gathered. There he is in our midst still today. And what does he say? He says, peace. Peace be unto you. Fellowship followed by peace. Even though it started out with fear. John chapter 14, verse 27. The Lord Jesus Christ, where he was teaching his disciples about that he's gone to prepare a place for them. And if it were not so, he would tell them that it were not, if it were not so, he would tell them. He wants them to have peace. In fact, listen to what he says to them. He says in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Our Lord wants to give us peace. We already know, according to 2 Timothy 1:7, that he's not given us the spirit of fear, but instead of power, love, and a sound mind. Here he wants us to understand the outcome of that is peace. Peace I give unto you, he says, in the midst of a very troubling time. He'd just been crucified, buried, resurrected that morning. The apostles and disciples, they're terrified what's going on. And he says to them, peace. Peace I give unto you. So we find that fellowship is followed by peace. There's a real value to coming and worshiping together. Of course, I understand that you can have a relationship with God on top of Mount Mansfield. You can go out into the middle of Lake Champlain and you can row out there in a kayak and you can pray and you can sing. But there's power in coming together. There's power in laying our fears aside, fellowshipping, comforting, encouraging, exhorting, uplifting one another. There's something to be found in that peace that only Christ can give us. Not the peace of the world. That's what he said to them. In John 14, he says, not the peace of the world. I don't care about that. That comes and that goes. All the time you hear peace. In fact, in the end times, they said, you're going to hear peace, peace, all the time. But Christ wants to give us peace in our hearts, in our souls. So we find that as they gathered in that room together, starting out, yes, afraid, moving to a time when Christ is in their midst and giving them fellowship, he offers to them peace. The peace that only he can give. The peace that changes the heart, the mind, the soul through faith in him. In following that peace, we find in verse 20, gladness. Look at what's here in verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad. I want you to say that with me. Say that word. It's a simple word. It's a four-letter word, but it's a good word. So I'm going to say it. John, Ashley, they're going to say it too. We're all going to say the word right now. Glad. Isn't that amazing? I like to be glad. I don't like to be mad. I really don't like to be mad. No, I get mad once in a while, but I don't like being mad. There are some people in the world who like to, there are people who love to be mad. But I just would rather be glad. So when you look here in this text, it tells us, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. When they saw that it was their Lord, gladness came upon them. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9 says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Gladness is kind of a unique word. It's different than happy. You know, when I think of happy, I think about the little penguin show that came out here a while back. I think I watched it with my grandkids. It was the Happy Feet penguin show, you know, and you see penguins that are happy and they're flapping their feet and dancing around. That's happy, and I get that. There are times when you just want to flap your feet and be happy. But glad is a little deeper thing. It's maybe not quite as expressed. It's in your soul. You're glad. You and I, when we come together and we sit at the feet of Jesus and we turn to his word to find our comfort, our strength, our guidance, when we one with another, encourage one another, exhort one another, even warn one another, I leave glad. I miss our church folks. I miss so many who are not able to come yet. I miss them. I'll be glad when they're able to return and worship. So we find that the Lord, he brought to them gladness. He offered them peace, and in that peace they found gladness. You and I that are true believers, we know that in the presence of the Lord, there is so much that he offers. We just have to come together, worship him, listen to him, have his presence real in our hearts and our souls. We need to come together and exhort and encourage one another, lay our fears aside, and go ahead and know him and walk with him. And we're getting there. Even through this COVID-19, even with the insane outbreak that we had at Christmas, we're getting there. We're being very, very wise, and we're being very cautious. It's something we have to do. We have to do that. But we set fear aside, and we say, Lord, give me the power, the love, and the sound mind to be about your business. And that's the last point that I'm going to take you to, because I want you to see that Christ had an objective. Remember I told you that the 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension, Christ will reveal himself and he will bring across lesson after lesson for all of us to learn. Here we find him come into the midst of this room where these people are literally locked down, afraid of what's transpiring in their community, in their world at that time. Christ comes in. He creates this circle of fellowship. He introduces peace. He brings to them gladness. And now he's going to give to them an objective, a purpose. This purpose is as old as Christianity itself and beyond. Listen to what transpires as we come down to verses 21 on down through in John chapter 20. Then said Jesus to them, see, now it's lesson time. 40 days of appearances and lessons, it's lesson time. Listen to what he says to them. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands, his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Says it again, doesn't he? As my Father has sent me, so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So we find Christ do something that will change the world. Now, he's already been crucified, buried, resurrected, conquered death. But he is going to give the Great Commission to these early believers that will turn the world upside down. Now, that sounds extreme, doesn't it? But that's exactly what the people of that day said about the apostles. They said they are turning the world upside down. That was their words. So you find him here. He gives to them the Great Commission. You find the Great Commission in all of the four Gospels. Now, they're written just a little differently as each person sees Ashley coming into the intersection and John coming into the intersection. Each one sees it from their own perspective, but they're going to give us the exact same account. Look, go with me. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And we'll work from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we'll see the Great Commission as it is given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19 and 20. Listen to what it says. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus Christ just gave his disciples the Great Commission to reach the world with the gospel. And he says to them, I will be with you. I will be with you until the end of the world. Let's move on to the Gospel of Mark. Look with me, if you would, at Mark 16. Mark 16, and I'm going to read to you verses 15 and 16. It says, and he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Very, very to the point, isn't it? You and I, we have a job to do. We're not let off the hook because we're in the midst of some kind of a pandemic. That doesn't mean that we are not supposed to reach our neighbors with the gospel, our coworkers with the gospel, our family with the gospel. We're supposed to go into the entire world and preach the gospel to everybody. We can't stop investing in world missions. We have to continue to work to spread the gospel through world missions. I just read an article today. Brother Steve Trask, our missionary to Brazil. In fact, we were scheduled to go and do a missions trip there just about a year ago. We were working on it, getting it in place. Well, Steve is in Brazil now. And do you know that Brazil is right now, they say, one of the hottest COVID spots in the world? Their system is not working well. They're not getting people vaccine. People are in bad shape. People are dying. Does that matter to us? It should. Because each and every one of those souls that passes from this life into the next is going to stand before God. Now, we're investing in missions. We're investing in Brother Steve Trask, who is, he flew back to Brazil in the middle of this pandemic to be there to minister to people. And Steve is old. He's older than me, and that's almost as old as dirt. He's old. But there he is in Brazil, one of the hottest countries in the world for this COVID. Are we too afraid to share the gospel with our mask on to a neighbor or a friend? And yet he flew all the way back to Brazil because of his burden for the lost and dying souls there. We can't give up on missions, folks. We have to continue. Christ here, that very first Sunday night service, on the resurrection day, he gives to them the Great Commission. Look with me, if you would, over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Let's listen to Luke's account of the Great Commission. Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to read to you verses 47 down through 49. And that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Christ makes it clear The power of the Holy Spirit goes with us. Now, we remember in Matthew, the very first one, Matthew chapter 28, he told us, how long is he going to give us power? Unto the ends of the world. We have to care about souls. We've got to care about reaching others with the gospel. We can't let up. We've got to continue. In fact, look with me, if you would, to the last of the four Gospels, the Gospel of John. We come down here to the very text that we were reading, John chapter 20, verses 21 on down. Listen, listen again. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. Now that so send I you is all of us. That's me, Pastor Tim Taylor. That's John, music and youth pastor. That's Ashley, secretary up there, hammering away on that computer, answering the phone, driving through intersections like a crazy Louisianan. Every one of us. Though both of them wish somebody else was in this auditorium, so I'd pick on them. But we are those people that Jesus has looked at. And he's saying to them, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and gave them. He gave them the Holy Ghost. You and I, when we received Christ as our Savior, the Bible teaches us that we were empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have to lay our fears aside and share the gospel with our neighbors and friends. Last week, we did a little Easter bag ministry on Saturday. All the boys and girls in our church and all the boys and girls in the ARC preschool kindergarten, as well as others, neighbors, friends. So they came and they got a bag, and inside there, I think we had about 24 of those little eggs with candy in it. And then we had inside there the gospel message. At children's age, had in there a little craft, had in there a little little picture thing where you moved it and the stone rolled away from the tomb. Why do we do those things? We do them because we have a job. Our job is to spread the gospel. Yes, we start right here in our Jerusalem, our home. But we reach out to the uttermost parts of the world. That's what the gospel, that's what the Great Commission said to do. So we start with our little boys and girls, our church family, our neighbors. And then we reach through all our missionaries to the far corners of the earth, even where Brother Steve Trask is, down in Brazil, where they are really under the gun with this whole COVID-19 thing. We never give up. We never stop. We have been given a commission. Christ entered that room where these people were afraid. But by the time he leaves, they're glad. They're fellowshipping with each other. They've been given the commission to get out there and get after it. And they've been empowered. Just like you and I. Just like John, just like Ashley. We have to do our part. So tonight, as we wrap up our service, I just want to challenge you. Over the next number of Sundays, I haven't finished the whole thing. I don't know how many Sundays it's going to be. Not a lot, but not a few. We're going to look at the teachings of Jesus during this 40-day window between his resurrection and his ascension. Wonderful truths for you and I. As we serve the Lord. Let's be more than hearers. Let's be doers of the word. Let's bow our heads and close our service in prayer tonight. Father in heaven, we do thank you so much for the Great Commission that has given us purpose of heart and soul. For we know, Lord, we must cast our fears aside. We know we must share our faith with others. Is everybody happy to receive it? No. Is the world glad that we're glad? No. We know, Lord, that there is a very active enemy, but we must not give up. Help us. Help us to fight the good fight of faith. Help us to be as the Apostle Paul, that warrior, that soldier who runs the race and fights the fight right to the very end. Help us to represent you well. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.